So my name is Jeanette Magnus. I'm from the Mary Amelia Douglas White at Community Women's Health Education Center. My co-author is Stacey Cunningham from the same organization, and Zach Rosenberg and Liz McCartney from St. Bernard Project. We have nothing to disclose, any of us. St. Bernard Parish is one of the parishes, the river parishes, in close proximity to New Orleans. And here you can see the flood depth estimates. And as you can see on this slide, you see that the long, more like close to a foot shape of St. Bernard Parish really was devastated. Several areas had had more than 7 feet of water. St. Bernard is a unique, tightly knit, working middle class community and is arguably the area that was hardest hit by Hurricane Katrina because nothing was left. I really want you to meet Liz. Let's see. This was supposed to work. Okay, I really had wanted you to meet Liz McCartney and Zach Rosenberg because we had Hurricane Gustav, they could not come because then they had to take care of more of their clients. So I had this CNN video that I wanted you to see, but you know, I'll show you something at the end. So the St. Bernard Project was started in March 2006 by Zach Rosenberg and Liz McCartney after they volunteered in St. Bernard. They came down, they thought they would be a couple of weeks, they were a couple of weeks, went back up to Washington where Zach worked as a public defender and Liz McCartney, she's an educator, and then they understood that they could not leave St. Bernard. So they sold their car, bought a pickup, loaded everything they owned onto the pickup and went back into St. Bernard and started working. Because what they actually saw and what they met was beyond their wildest belief and understanding. The mission of the St. Bernard Project is to remove barriers for families who wish to move back into their homes. Over the past 2 years, the St. Bernard Project have utilized the time and talent of more than 5,500 volunteers from around the United States and from more than 50 other nations. The volunteers donate their labor and they also have donations for building supplies, and the group can rebuild a home from the gutted studs into ready moving in with appliances in 12 weeks, and it costs between $10,000 and $12,000. Liz and Zach has actually, with the St. Bernard Project, has built more homes in the greater New Orleans area in the St. Bernard Project than Habitat for Humanity have built in all the other areas. So what the two people have managed to do is just amazing. So one of the critical things with the St. Bernard Project was that they wanted to cut red tape and help the citizens of St. Bernard to come back into their homes as fast and as seamless as possible, and that they created this organization that provided vital resources and support to the families as they were waiting and as they were going back in. I visited there about 2 weeks ago, and then I visited one of the built areas, and the built areas was then for a family with among the two children was Roger, who was 6 years old, and he was living in Iowa currently, and he has actually been raising money for the St. Bernard Project since Katrina. So it's pretty amazing. So this was a shoulder-by-shoulder grassroots organization, and they really started working, you know, pretty much according to this management profile that we can see that you have the disaster, you get to the response, you work on recovery, you do the mitigation, and you then start working again on the preparedness for the next disaster. This is, of course, with what we experienced with Gustav, with where the whole parish again was evacuated, is really important to always prepare for the next disaster as well. The founding leadership attracted several people that actually could be working with them, and they built teams, they got the building materials, they identified clients, and they rebuilt the houses. So this approach managed both volunteers and the leadership to work in many different roles. The effort of the organization was, you know, in the beginning only to focus on one thing. However, over the time, as the organization grew, and they grew very rapidly, they saw that they needed new skills. They needed more in order to actually really serve the clients at the best way. So they saw that, you know, that it was clear that the needs of the clients and the community went beyond the basic shelter of a home and a house. You know, building homes is a slow process, you know, so what about the neighborhoods? What about the areas that nobody had come back, if you were the first one who actually started building your house? What about the people with unresolved trauma being back in the place that actually made them recall some of the traumas? Many lost families and neighbors and friends, and of course the whole community infrastructure was devastated, so there was nothing back, no healthcare, no grocery stores and schools and so on in the beginning when they started this in 2006. So because these needs were identified, the St. Bernard Project saw the need for an expanded vision, one that actually could encompass more than the returning to the rebuilt homes, and that would actually include the rebuilt neighborhoods and also facilitate the rebouncing of the community life. In order to serve this expanded vision, the organization itself needed to rethink its structure. This shoulder-to-shoulder structure did not work. So in a way, they needed to solidify and create management structures that would enable them to have a more focused use of staff and the volunteer resources. But the movement from this loose, we are together shoulder by shoulder, management driven by a singular vision actually created some problems. And that's one of the things that they were then faced with. One of the effect of the expanded vision and the new structure was actually that they lost some of the long-time staff because they were not willing to go into a more organized organization. They wanted it to be as it was the weeks and months just after Katrina. And in a way, you can see that this loss could be a natural part of the organizational growth. However, this was a very difficult time for the founders, and that is where they sought out help. As I mentioned, we represent the Mary Amelia Douglas White Community Women's Health Education Center, and we then, through a series of leadership meetings, worked with the leadership of the St. Bernard Projects to identify specific steps that the leadership needed to take to facilitate the important organizational transition, because they needed to institutionalize structures. They had to accept that they would lose some of their long-term staff, and they were aiming for sustainable growth. So the point was that they wanted to create an organizational structure that did not rely on personalities and individuals. And if you want to do that, it required a new leadership model. What they had experienced was that even though the personality leadership style actually gave great comfort in the beginning, it would not actually be sustainable over time, and that the whole growth of the St. Bernard project would be linked too much to the personality of the leaders. So in a way, a personality-driven leadership structure shifts the focus away from the organization's mission, and in a way, the personality structure do not open up for empowerment of staff at different levels. So in a way, the organization's mission was recognized as a reference point in resolving problem solving. So they went back to their original mission, and then they started working out with that as the focus. So they had several staff meetings where they had a shared vision and increased the understanding of the mission. And this was crucial to ensure that the restructuring and the new activities would be accepted by the staff and volunteers. More importantly, the vision and the mission that was shared with the staff and the volunteers, and also this enabled them to more effectively to resolve conflicts. So the focus is on removing barriers related to employment, housing, transportation, education, with the goal of facilitating the rebuilding of the community. One of the things we also discovered when we talked to Zach and Liz was that they had not celebrated their successes. So we then encouraged them to make a plan on how to celebrate the successes. And the first success they celebrated was their 100th house. And this is from that celebration, where they actually then really got into this and celebrated every 25th house. And this became a major boost for the staff and also for the community. So this St. Bernard project has transitioned from being reactive to the immediate shelter needs of clients to proactively meet additional needs. So now we're talking about community spaces, community gardens, and so on, in addition to continue building the houses. And it wouldn't be surprising to you that actually Liz McCarty is one of the 10 that is now in the final running for becoming the CNN hero of 2008. So I will strongly encourage all of you to go online on CNN, on the hero website, and vote for Liz. You can vote as many times as you like, and we welcome, because even though they have done a tremendous job in St. Bernard, there is years of work to come, and we really, really need support. This would give Liz $100,000 that she automatically will funnel back to the St. Bernard project. So if she wins, it will be an additional 10 houses. And if any of you want to come and work, please do. When I was there, I met people from a church group. I met a group from actually a bridge club. So anybody is interested, please welcome and take a look on the web and on their website to learn more about the St. Bernard projects. Thank you very much for your attention.